evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to the Bertie County Board of Commissioners meeting. At this time, we're going to have our roll call. Clerk, Mr. Tom Jacobs.
Chair Corey Bounce.
Present.
Vice Chair Louis Hager.
Here.
Commissioner Ron Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders.
Present.
Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
County Manager Juan Vaughn.
Present.
Attorney Jonathan Huddleston.
Present.
All right, thank you. At this time, we'll have an invocation and pledge of allegiance by Commissioner Ron Robertson.
Most appreciated. Our Father, we thank you for this night, first meeting of the year. Jesus, please bring Bertie County and the United States back together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Robertson. At this time, we're going to move right along and have our administration of oath of office by the Honorable Annie Wilson, Register of Deeds, to Ms. Tanya Davis, Clerk of the Board.
Good afternoon, everyone. At this time, I will administer the oath of office to our clerk to the board, Ms. Tanya Davis. Okay? You're going to repeat after me, okay? And say your name. Okay. Place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. I,
Tanya Davis,
do solemnly and sincerely swear,
do solemnly and sincerely swear,
that I will support,
that I will support,
the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
that I will be faithful,
that I will be faithful,
and bear true allegiance,
and bear true allegiance,
to the state of North Carolina,
to the state of North Carolina,
and to the constitutional powers,
and to the constitutional powers,
and authorities,
and authorities,
that are,
that are,
or may be established,
or may be established,
for the government thereof,
for the government thereof,
and that I will,
and that I will,
endeavor to support,
endeavor to support,
maintain and defend,
maintain and defend,
the
Constitution
of said state,
of said state,
not inconsistent with,
not inconsistent with,
the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
to the best of my knowledge and ability,
to the best of my knowledge and ability,
so help me God,
so help me God.
Okay.
I, Tanya Davis,
Do swear that I will,
that I will,
well and truly
execute the duties
of clerk to the board,
of clerk to the board,
according to the best of my skill and ability,
according to
the best of my skill,
and ability,
according to the law,
according to the law,
so help me God,
so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Again, we would like to congratulate. We are so thankful to Ms. Tanya Davis for coming on board and being a part of Bertie County team. At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves for public comments. And in case some of you don't know, I am a preacher by nature. At funerals, I have to make this speech a lot. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes due to the magnitude of people we have. We don't want to keep everybody prolonged. So we ask that you please govern yourselves accordingly and operate inside of a 3 minute window as you give your public comments. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon. My name is Gail King and I live in Mary Hill. My husband and I have lived in Mary Hill for 12 years. My husband and I raised 3 children in crazy Northern Virginia. We worked hard and we were fortunate enough to put all 3 children through college. Once they were all living on their own, we decided to focus on our lives. We wanted a life away from the rat race, the stress of trying to find that work-life balance, a life filled with outdoor activities, and an easygoing rural lifestyle. We found it on the banks of the Albemarle Sound in Bertie County. Our little slice of heaven, the place we are fulfilling the lifelong dream of living on the water. This fall, the banks of Bertie County became victim of 45 600-foot wind turbines, the tallest in the United States, I might add, whose lights flashed throughout the night. In our vision, these turbines are not scattered across acres of farmland. We don't look up at these turbines, we look at them all night long. You will hear many of our citizens speak to issues surrounding these turbines and how they affect their everyday lives, how the turbines affect property values, which has a significant impact to property tax revenue. I would like to speak to a hopeful resolution. Since the first flash of turbines, I've been actively working with Timbermill Wind, DEQ, FAA, and Senator Hennig on a possible solution. You can imagine how difficult this can be considering these turbines aren't even in our jurisdiction. However, through the power of social media and the dedication of the Bertie County citizens, we are making significant progress. I've spoken with Lan Norris. He's the special wind turbine team and obstruction evaluation group at the Federal Aviation Administration. He has shared the following with me, and I'd like to share it with you. There are three certified ADLS, which is the Aircraft Detection Lighting System, that have been approved with the FAA for onshore wind turbines. They are Terma, Detect, and Vestas. In order to move forward with this solution, Timbermill will need to work with county representatives and submit the appropriate permits. The technology is being used in the United States, and many counties are now requiring this technology as a solution to the host of issues that are related to the flashing red lights. He went on to say the technology can be added, but proper steps will need to be taken. I provided Commissioner White and Tanya with an example via an email link that outlines how an ADLS system works once it's installed. The Vesta is compatible with the manufacturer of the wind turbines, which are Dutch, in Chouan County, and one of the ADLS systems approved by the FAA. Yeah? Okay, can I ask for your help? You'll do it? Okay. You want this? I'll leave it up here.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Kane.
Brad Kernis.
You guys are serious about this 3-minute thing, aren't you? Good evening, Chairperson, commissioners, and fellow attendees. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight as a concerned citizen and a taxpayer. My name is Brad Kernis, and I'm a proud resident of Okano. I stand before you to address a critical issue affecting the safety and well-being of our community, the urgent need for a strategically located, fully staffed, and modern emergency medical services, or EMS, station. To make this issue more personal and impactful, I ask each of you to take a moment and reflect on your why. In other words, why you would approve this, why you would move forward. Everybody's got one of these things nowadays, and you have pictures of your loved ones. Take a look at that. That's your why. The reason you should act on this proposal. Imagine an emergency affecting you or your family, your neighbors. Picture a spouse, a parent, or a child. Could be a grandchild in critical need of medical assistance. Emergencies can happen to anyone, and when they do, you need help to arrive expeditiously. The current problem is that in recent years, emergency response times in some parts of our county has become alarmingly long, sometimes 30 to 45 minutes or even more. All residents deserve prompt access to life-saving care. However, certain areas face disproportionately long delays in response times for EMS. Ironically, this issue is most severe in the areas that contribute significantly to the county's tax base, that being Okano, home to one of North Carolina's top golf courses, Black Rock, Bachelor's Bay. These communities are hubs of residential development and economic activity and tax-paying homeowners. Additionally, this region includes Lawrence Academy, the county's leading private school, Avoca, a major local employer, and the vital northbound side of Route 17. These areas continue to endure some of the longest EMS response times in the county. The consequences are real. These delays are not hypothetical. They are life-threatening. In emergencies, such as cardiac arrests or other critical situations, every second matters. The difference between timely care and delayed assistance can be the difference between life and death. This is not merely a matter of convenience, but a matter of public safety and fairness. A practical cost-saving solution, I'll try to wrap it up quickly, that's achievable is establishing an EMS station at Midway in Maryhill. This location is central to the areas of greatest need and has the available building and land suitable for this type of an EMS facility. By relocating the current fire station to a newly built firehouse, the existing facility could be repurposed for EMS use. This approach would minimize setup costs, expedite the project, and ensure the county maximizes its existing resources. Now the why. Why this action is justified. I'll do this rather quickly. Public safety, rapid EMS response is a fundamental responsibility of local government. Two, equity for taxpayers. The areas most affected are home to some of the county's highest taxpayers. Three, economic growth. Reliable public safety infrastructure not only protects lives, but also enhances Bertie County's appeal to families, businesses, and developers. Safe communities are strong communities. In conclusion, at the heart of this issue lies the protection and the safety of your why, all of our why, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives. I urge this board to take decisive action by allocating immediate funding for this solution, hiring qualified EMS personnel, procuring the necessary equipment, and establishing a sustainable operating budget. Commissioners, your leadership is in prioritizing this investment will not only save lives, but also demonstrate your unwavering commitment to a stronger, safer, more prosperous Bertie County. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you take immediate action.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
I have two copies of this, if you'd like it. I'm not sure who I should give them to, but...
Leave that one.
Kate's going to finish up mine little. It's right at the bottom, Kate. No, that's yours. It took Kate's.
Ask Gail's.
Yeah, just hand it to me.
I'll hand it to you again.
Ron Phillips.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners, councilmen, managers, executives, friends and neighbors. My wife and I reside at 114 North Shore Drive in Maryhill in the community of Black Rock. We just completed our new home on the waterside with open views of the Chowan River. We've owned the property for a couple of years. The Black Rock community offered us things we were looking for: an elevated water view, minimal risk of flooding, wide open views, access to the Chowan River, and close proximity to several historic sites in the region. Part of the beauty of this region is the open views to enjoy moonrises like tonight, sunrises and sunsets, clear views of the amazing solar system, and the diverse amount of wildlife we enjoy during the seasons. During our home construction, we started seeing the Apex Wind Farm coming out of the ground directly across the river from us in Chowan County. Initially, I don't believe we were overly concerned with these structures coming out of the ground. That all changed once Apex put the windmills in service and we were bombarded by the red aviation lights flashing every 2 seconds from dusk to sunrise. These lights now make the views across the river resemble approach lights to an airport. With 45 turbines, these lights flash 81,000 times an hour. Not only is this light pollution, but it could be triggering other human health issues such as anxiety, PTSD, other things that I'm not privy to, but other people have health issues. We've registered our complaints with APEX website, and we're given the standard boilerplate response citing FAA rules, military flights, etc. They did mention the ADLS system, lighting system, and it's an option if APEX can get through the necessary government approvals. Our ask is to support the citizens of Bertie County and pass a resolution requesting that APEX move forward with a complete retrofit system of the warning lights that will help in eliminating light pollution we are experiencing each evening. This includes reaching out to other government agencies, including NCDEQ, our state representatives, etc. Were there opportunities for other public or for any public input on Bertie County side by APEX during the processes of getting Timber Mill site approved? We're new residents, so I don't know if this went back 8, 10, 12 years. It could have, but we're not privy to that information. We'd also like to know if Bertie County has been approached by APEX or any other development company to construct wind turbines anywhere in this county. If so, what is the council's method of notifying residents for input? On a separate issue, there were 3 homes completed in Black Rock in 2024. There are currently 4 homes under construction in Black Rock. In Ocano, I believe there are at least 15 homes under construction. It's been frustrating this past year as residents to our general contractor and subcontractors who've paid thousands of dollars in permit fees to Bertie County, who is without its own building inspector. I'm estimating that we lost during our construction phase at least 2 months in costly construction delays, waiting on other inspectors from other counties, neighboring counties, to fill in these inspections due to long-term vacancies. Not having an inspection department is costing homeowners thousands in construction delays, and this council should put the highest of priorities in hiring a qualified inspector for future growth of the county. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you.
Kate Jordan.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Gail's ask first. I am Kate Jordan. This is Gail's ask. We need your support. Continue us in filing a grievance with Timber Mill Wind through their website. And I have a copy of how to do that for you that I'm going to leave with you today for each of you individually. Communicate with commissioners of our surrounding counties to ensure going forward that when new wind farms are projected, our citizens and citizens from adjoining counties are informed. Adapt a zero tolerance for wind turbine light pollution policy. Work with Chowan County Commissioners on ADLS approved process. That's aircraft detection lighting system. Work with our state representatives to support the ADLS technology. And then join Gail on January 21st at 5 p.m. in Ocano at the pool house. Senator Hoenig will be on site to see firsthand what your citizens see every night. He'll be traveling to other communities on the shore of Bertie, and we hope you can join us. What?
January 21st.
At 5 p.m. at the pool house in Ocano. Senator Hoenig. Okay. I'm Kate Jordan. I live in Mary Hill. I actually live in Mount Gould. I'm a photographer. I'm a global portfolio manager for MyTech in Edenton, which is actually a global company. And I'm an Airbnb host. I chose my location for my home because of its natural beauty, tranquility, dark skies. I'm a photographer. I do night photography and day photography. These lights not only disrupt the peace of my home, but also my photography business and deter guests on my Airbnb serene location. My husband and I, he's here tonight. We just finished building our new home in March, and the lights started in October. We live approximately 60 feet above Chowan County, so we see the entire turbine and the light, not just the lights above the trees. Bertie County residents along the Chowan River are being robbed of peaceful nights and natural beauty by the relentless flashing every few seconds all night long. They reflect off the water, guys. It's not just the lights, we're seeing reflection off the water as well. Today, the only solution Again, today. There may be a better one later. But today, the only solution is the ADLS lighting, aircraft detection lighting system. It keeps the lights off until an aircraft is around. It has to be approved through the FAA and the DOD and probably other places as well. We need your voices and your actions to support this fix for our state and federal representatives. So what I need you to do is to go to the website, file a complaint on behalf of the citizens of Vertee that this is affecting them and that you want to help represent it. So that's my ask of you, and I have instructions on how to do it.
Thank you, Ms. Jordan.
Yep.
Lucy Daniels?
Hello, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Lucy Daniels. I'm a lifetime resident of Vertee County. I'm a strong community advocate in many ways. After college, I eagerly moved back home to resume the lifestyle that I grew up with on the river, enjoying the boating, skiing, fishing, all the things this wonderful county has to offer. I've served my community as an RN, an emergency room RN, and educator for over 50 years. That was important to me to come home. I serve on the Vertee County Art Council Board, and I serve the Shepherd Pruden Memorial Library Edenton Board. So I'm very involved in the community and my church community of Cape Arts. I have owned river property on the Chowan River since 1976. I currently own 2 acres at 63 feet above sea level, and I've raised my children and grandchildren to enjoy this lifestyle. We have a pier. I also have a studio loft, so I have lots of out-of-town guests, personal friends, and things that come, and we enjoy the pier and the atmosphere. And what I'm advocating for is to help us get rid of these red flashing lights that are from dusk to dawn. I can also speak to you as a private pilot. I am a private pilot, and there are so many tools, maps, navigational assistance that teach us where dangers are, where towers are, where limited sites are. The information is all out there. So we don't have to all these communities that I live close to, you know, from the Sound, Bachelor's Bay, all those communities, all the way up past the Chowan River, were greatly impacted by this. And we have a lifestyle, tranquil environment, and we do not have to change our lifestyle to accommodate the importance of safety for aviation. And so I just advocate, please, that each and every person here, independently, whether you're a couple or not, that we make our own plea on the website that Kate has given you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Jean, I don't know how to say your last name.
Close the
track. There you go.
Hi, everybody. This is a repeat appearance for me. I see some new faces up there, so welcome all of you to your new roles. I'm actually going to follow up with what Brad was talking about. I was here previously. I, too, nurse. And know the importance of emergency response. As Brad said, you pick up a phone, you need somebody on the other end to know what you need and get the help to you. I'm not gonna say, you know, hi, commissioner, and oh, I can't keep all these titles straight to tell you the truth, and I'm not about titles. I'm about every person in this room, whether you have a title or you don't have a title, is entitled to the same emergency care. I've been a personal witness to more than 4 incidents. I've only been here less than 3 years. Every single one of them was life-threatening, and every single one took more than 45 minutes. I'm not blaming the staff. I know where we live. I'm out there in Okano, but there has to be a solution. The money was, my understanding, 2013, we were told sitting in the same room that the money has been allocated for the fire department, which ultimately will result in potentially an EMS station. We needed it yesterday. So let's take all the titles out of the room. I want you to take a moment. I think most of us here are either parents, grandparents, we'll say aunts and uncles to make sure we cover everybody, okay? Picture a group of kids. They're outside playing ball. I know we don't see that very often anymore, but once in a while out here especially, it does happen. Ball rolls out into the street. You've got a 6-year-old little girl, okay? Little 6-year-old girl. She's not looking for the car. Her eye's on the ball. There she goes. runs out in the street. Unfortunately, boom, here comes the car. We now have a little girl lying in the street. Frantic mother, frantic dad, frantic, God forbid to be a grandmother, because I know how frantic we get, and calling for help. And they're waiting, and they're waiting. And in the meantime, this little child is laying on the ground. That, to me, there is no excuse for any of us to say that that little girl doesn't deserve somebody to be out there in 15 minutes or less, as is the standard, even in rural areas. And if we don't do it, then shame on us. The money is there. How do we get it going? How do we get a station out there? Because I'll be damned if it's going to be my little granddaughter that's out there in the street hit by a car. And if you go to pick her up and take her to the hospital yourself, you risk paralyzation. Because if it's a cervical injury, you could paralyze that child. We don't want neighbors throwing their family members in the cars and running them to the hospital. We want EMS, we want them running to us and to the emergency. So please, the money is there. What can we do? I think most of us in the room, not everybody's old enough to remember to say, where's the beef? Okay, I'm not asking you for the beef. I'm asking you for where is the money? Let's get it spent. Let's save these children. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jane.
Willie Outlaw.
Good afternoon, County Commissioners. My complaint is I live on 125 Daly Road, and we have a landfill in Republican, and we also have the dump sites that went all up and down the counties. And back to where I live, this young man, I don't know who crash he picking up. He goes from house to house to pick up people crash. And I live on 125 Daly Road. This is my house number, and they laid on the other side of the road. She live on the end down there. And he piled and crashed up, big white bags of crash. And I said something to him about it. He said, well, the owner of the land told me I could dump crash there. I said, oh man, look, don't want no crash dumped in the woods. They might actually dump no crash on no clear land. So I talked to the guy that farmed the land, and he said, I don't know this guy. I haven't told the guy anything. But when he burns that mess back there, it smells so bad. And my neighborhood, but a nice neighborhood. I mean, when I first moved back there, it was muddy, dirt road. Wrong working with the
NCDOT.
Yeah, long day. And he said that we're gonna clear up and we're gonna tie the road. And the road was tied. And now this guy don't own a full of land back there nowhere. Don't own a full of land. But he goes back there. The lady called me today, living in the last house on the right, and all the way to the end, and asked me, did I talk to the county commission? Have I been? I said, no, yet, not yet, but I'm going tonight and see what can we do about it. Because he need to clean that mess up and get it out in there. Because it smells. You know what crash smell like when you got it in an old garbage bag, piled up about this high, and then he's going to dig a hole and bury the stuff. I said, no, we don't want that. I want the mess cleaned up and moved out. I got 3 acres of land back there on 125 Daly Road. And I keep it up. That keeps it nice, and all the other people, they keep their yard stuff looking good.
What's that law? Not to cut across you, but I understand that your concern, but you have the director of the zoning department here with you, Ms. Tracy White. Ms. Tracy White, if you notify her department, she would definitely take
care
of that.
I'll send somebody out there. We'll check into it.
She would take care of that no later than tomorrow. She's very pronto. And Mara, by this time, call me.
Okay.
Okay.
I sure will.
And because Ms. White is John on the job.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Outlaw.
Sir.
Okay. We thank every one of you for your comments. And I need you all to understand that every citizen of Bertie County matters. So we love the fact that you came out and expressed your concerns, because we need to hear you. We need to understand so we can make the best decisions we can as your county representatives. Okay? So while I do need you to understand, we can't make everybody happy, but we will do the very best we can. All right? I said thanks for everybody coming out. Last year we had the same concern, same problem, and then we do have the money. We just have to spend the money and get the
get the EMT and EMT service out there closer with a facility. And I understand one of our speakers said she don't volunteer work, maybe as a resident nurse on site part time, so that will help a lot. Right, Ms. Dell? Right? And she says
she'll do all. Offline.
You'll do all you can.
I'm an oncology nurse, not an emergency room.
Right, right. Not emergency room, but not this. Well, you'll do everything you can to help this process become very successful.
Yes, when I was here the last time, I volunteered
right.
to get on some kind right. of whatever, and I've written numerous times, and nobody answers right. me back. So,
okay.
Transparency. So, you're asking follow up with me, let's do it.
You're asking for transparency. They need to show you what they're doing,
okay.
what they're going to do it by. So
yep.
you're asking for transparency.
Okay. Again, thank you. We're going to move on now to our public hearing for Bertie County.
Excuse me. I don't mean to interrupt, but are you planning on addressing the issue with the lights, which is one of the reasons why I'm hearing a lot of other people about the flashing lights? Are you going to discuss it and then decide what you're going to do to help us?
Well, we're going to have a discussion about it. And do everything that we can to make the best decision. I mean, I can't speak for everybody on the board, but I understand your concern. Okay. And, that given time, all we do is receive the public comments, and then we get together and we have discussions. And
so, clarification: are you asking the commission here for a resolution?
Mm-hmm.
Just a resolution. Okay. We want to know, is that what your answer for? You know, so when we discussed it, we'll know what the...
I was trying to take notes when I was talking, and I heard just the wind turbines, not the medical thing for a second, but that you were asking for us to file a complaint, the commissioners to file a complaint on the APEC site that you had shared with me earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's correct.
That was one thing you were asking,
yeah.
is that we file as a board.
That's right.
And then I have it. And then under this, Mr. Turner's.
Pass a resolution to APEC.
Right.
Yeah, and that we just support you in filing a grievance. So that's why I was going to ask that question as well. Like, besides us filing a grievance, what else were you?
I think if you communicate with the commissioners of Chuan, the process has to go through Chuan. But if you know those individuals, which I'm assuming you do, is maybe have an important conversation with them about how it affects your citizens. And then going forward, if they add on to that wind farm or add other wind farms that affect our county, that they would inform us and let us know so we can be a part of that process.
Understood.
And if you need more anything else, Washington County is also affected, and they're going to their commissioners as well. So you have three counties.
I did also hear two questions. Sorry, that's what I added. So I looked at my, were we aware, so we don't answer questions at this time, but like we'll get the answers to them, I guess, or we're going to say it later. Were we aware that these were being built? Have we been asked about having turbines like in our county?
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two questions
mm-hmm.
that I heard.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay.
If I might address this board, I was here back in 2000 to 2012. There were some issues with the outlining landing fields, I think, and it was three or four or five counties involved. And what we had to do, we got together with each county, we got in our vehicles, I rode. We went to D.C., we went to Capitol Hill, and we spoke with the people there because we were going to get all the noise, we were going to get all the pollution, we get all the jet screens and all that, but we came together as counties and we did something about it.
That's awesome.
So, please bear with us as we try to work through this so that we can make this a reality for everybody where you can have your peaceful night and see the stars without seeing the flashing lights. I just ask for your patience.
Thank you.
And we hope you do it, okay?
Yes, and Senator Hannah.
Matter of fact, one of our former commissioners, she's in the audience now, Ms. Ferguson, as we went out and tried to do what we could do. And it's a different time now, I do understand that, but please bear with us, and we'll see. I think things will work out in the United States. Thank you.
I just want everybody to understand, everything takes reasoning and coming together now. And that's the whole, you know, the whole purpose of allowing people to have their public comments. And then we try to figure out the best route to take to assist you, okay? All right. At this time, we're going to move along and go to our public hearing for Bertie County Flood Damage Prevention Ordinance.
Good evening. Okay, the main purpose for this public hearing is to update our flood damage prevention ordinance. It has changes in it that are required. So we're required to update the ordinance in order to remain in good standing with the National Flood Insurance Program so that our citizens can continue to purchase flood insurance. And those that already have flood insurance can retain their policies. The main changes to the ordinance was the mapping changed and now identifies the Chowan River and Albemarle Sound as a coastal high hazard area. These areas are traditionally called V-zones. You used to did not see these areas unless you were at the ocean. There are stricter regulations due to storm surges with high velocity waters. Examples of the changes in the requirements would be engineered plans may be required, and depending on the construction type. The area below the regulatory flood elevation set forth in the ordinance may be required to have special construction such as breakaway walls. All new construction and substantial improvements now in this zone must be located landward of the reach of the high tide. Things like anchoring that takes water and wind loading into consideration will be required. There will be more analysis required to reduce or prevent the impact of the structure during flooding events of that nature. This ordinance will need to be made effective, but by the 17th, I have an effective date proposed of January the 16th, which is in 2 days. Sir? The 16th. I was informed that if the ordinance is not effective, at least by the 17th, that all flood policies in Bertie County will be dropped from the program. Okay. And I'm available if there are any questions, and if you want to take any comments from the public.
At this time, we'll have an introduction of
the ordinance. Can we ask if the public has any comments about the ordinance?
Anyone here have any comments about the ordinance?
Yeah, I do have a question. What is the new elevation in the ordinance requirement?
The elevation requirement has not changed. Bertie County requires a 5-foot freeboard, which is 5 foot above the base flood elevation. Okay. That has not been changed in this ordinance, proposed to be changed.
Very good. Thank you.
Anyone else present? Anyone?
I have a question. How long have you known about this change of this ordinance, this time frame? I know you said that the 17th is the deadline to have it approved. How long have you known about this process?
I did not realize that it had a January 17th deadline, but we have been working on the mapping and the ordinance for about 2 years. They have been to the public, up for public review before. The maps have. The state does that. As part of the program through emergency management.
I did not know about the January 17th hard deadline until I started contacting the state in October and asking them where they were supposed to provide the new regulation for that zone. And they had not been in contact with me, so I started asking, and that's when they were like, oh, yeah, we've got to get this adopted by January the 17th. So we went to the planning board, and I did the draft ordinance, went to the planning board, and brought it to the commissioners. We would have had the meeting last Monday, but we had to postpone the meeting. So it's been an ongoing process for some time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So the deadline is the 17th. We need it done by the 16th.
Well, I proposed the 16th because I didn't want to give them any reason to question anything. So I just proposed that it would be effective the 16th.
And what do we need to do now to get that taken care of?
Vote to adopt the ordinance as amended and make it effective January the 16th.
So that's something we need to move on. So
it's on the consent agenda, but yes, we don't need to do that tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Thank you. Introduction of the Human Resources and Risk Management Director.
Yes. At this time, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our new Human Resources and Risk Management Director, Ms. Nicole Boone. Ms. Nicole Boone has an associate's degree from Martin Community College in Business Administration and Accounting, as well as a bachelor's degree from Capella University in Business Administration with a concentration in Human Resources Management, and a master's degree from Capella University in Psychology with a concentration in Industrial Organization. She has several years of experience in human resources at Ronald Chuan Community College and Halifax Community College, where she last served as director of human resources. So we're very excited and happy to have Ms. Boone on board.
Have anything you'd like to say, Ms. Boone?
Just happy to be here to serve the county, serve the employees here at Brett T. County, and to be here for support for the residents as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, we welcome you, Brett T. County.
Thank you.
All right. Preservation and the restoration and rebuilding of rural small town movie theaters in northeastern North Carolina. Presentation by Dr. Patricia Parks.
Greetings, Mr. Chairman, to the Board of Commissioners, to those of you that are new since I was here last, Commissioner Hargard and Commissioner Saunders. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, everybody. Yay! Wow, I really almost felt quite at home with all of the discussions going on. There are two things on the agenda. I'm not sure which you would prefer first, the presentation or the... Okay, so just let me do a quick introduction of this presentation, especially since we've got a captive audience here tonight, doing it very quickly. Equity Films was founded in 2022, was that right, 2022? And the whole idea becomes, how do we take the creative energies in northeastern North Carolina and propel them to places that we've never thought of? Instead of losing young people and adults, such as photographers and others who are just amazing in the work that they do, how do we keep them here in the county and have that expression in terms of in the film industry? The goal of Equity Films is to build a film ecosystem in the area, being known around the world as the place to shoot a film $5 million and under. That is our goal. We believe that if we can attract that with the beautiful landscapes that all of you have talked so much about tonight, is just an amazing thought to me. We have independent filmmakers in the northeastern North Carolina that are phenomenal. A movie being shown right now in Greenville at the Golden Gate Theater. So this plaque is with so much excitement and pleasure to the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners in appreciation for your ongoing support for the Pecan Pickling Film Festival. Your involvement promotes tourism, local business development, and job creation. Thank you for your support of the arts and initiatives that provide economic opportunity. September 15, 2024, Equity Films. Thank you so much, Board. I'll give this over to the county manager. And so tonight, to continue to move forward with this whole idea around film, I'd like to share with all of you an article or a press release by the state. And is it okay if I approach? Should I approach? Is it okay if I approach? Okay. Mr. Chairman. This is an article that the governor submitted, or that was published back just a couple weeks, I think, ago. Okay, and I wish I had copies for everyone. And it talks about film production in North Carolina tops $300 million in direct spending in 2024. Because of time, I will not go over this, but I'm asking all of you to please take a look at this. And it is from the North Carolina Department of Commerce, who understands, and I've mentioned in meetings before in Wilmington, and they've topped, before COVID, over $300 million a year. If we even had 10% of that, that's $30 million, and if you just take whittling down the percentages, we can easily see how transformative film can be in northeastern North Carolina. I'm going to leave that there. And now what I would like to do is just, I'm hoping all of you have copies of the resolution. They have copies of the resolution?
Yes.
In your packets. And I would just like to read a little bit of this. And I'm going to be asking for a vote on this resolution once I'm finished, since all of you have a copy. It is a resolution of the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners in support of Equity Film's petition for the preservation, restoration, and rebuilding of rural small movie theaters in northeastern North Carolina. I have a team of filmmakers in northeastern North Carolina. They need distribution. They need some place that they can show their films, okay? So whereas the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners recognizes the importance of cultural and entertainment venues in promoting the creative arts, tourism, and community well-being and social cohesion, and whereas many small towns in northeastern North Carolina, including Berkeley County, face economic distress with local businesses struggling to survive and thrive, and whereas movie theaters have historically served as vital community hubs, providing a shared space for entertainment, education, and cultural exchange, and whereas the revival of local movie theaters can significantly contribute to economic development by creating jobs, attracting visitors, and stimulating local spending, and whereas Equity Films is advocating for the preservation, restoration, and rebuilding of rural movie theaters in economically distressed areas, which would directly benefit communities like ours by providing access to arts and culture, and whereas the restoration and preservation of local theaters aligns with broader efforts to stimulate economic growth and enhance the local economy by creating local jobs, supporting local businesses, promoting tourism, attracting visitors, and encouraging local spending. And whereas revitalizing movie theaters can also serve as a catalyst for further investments in local infrastructure and amenities, enhancing the overall quality of life of residents. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners hereby expresses its strong support for Equity Film's advocacy for the preservation, restoration, and rebuilding of rural, economically distressed small-town movie theaters in northeastern North Carolina. Be it further resolved that the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners commits to advocating for this initiative and encouraging collaboration among stakeholders and community organizations for this effort. Be it further resolved that the board will promote awareness of the economic and cultural benefits associated with restoring local theaters, emphasizing their role in enhancing community life, supporting local economies, and providing entertainment options that are accessible. And it goes on saying adopted, not the sixth day, but the 13th day. And then, as you can see, I will not read this, but I have rationale for support, economic development, cultural enhancement, community engagement, long-term sustainability, etc. So, Mr. Chairman, I respectfully ask the board to move a motion for the support of Equity Film's petition for the preservation, restoration, and rebuilding of rural small-town movie theaters in northeastern North Carolina.
All right. Commissioners.
I'll refer the resolution. I put forth a motion to.
It's on the consent agenda. It's on the consent.
Oh, it is on the consent agenda?
Yes, so we'll do it.
You'll do it there?
We'll take care of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Other, yes, any questions, commissioners? Yes.
It'd been very nice if you had bought the commissioners one of those jumpsuits.
And what size would you prefer? Lord have mercy, I only have one, so thank God for Tide and washing machines. Thank you for that comment. Any other comments or questions? No, no questions.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, again, I just want to thank all of you for supporting Equity Films. This is, we're coming up on our third year this year, and the red carpet, you'll get an invitation, will be in the county, and the actual festival, instead of in the county this year, will be at Chuan University, because we recognize the importance of young people and the creativity that brings, and we also understand we've got to build an ecosystem and a database that fits Hollywood and Atlanta and all those amazing things with well-skilled young people and older people. Any other questions? Any other questions? No, thank you kindly for your time and your support. Thank you.
All right. Now we will have updates from lobbyist Bob Steinberg and the request to renew the lobbying contract.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. County Manager, great to be here and this evening. I was here last Monday night, but some other folks were too, and we shut her down last Monday night. It was a nasty, nasty evening. First of all, I want to thank you all for allowing my partner and I to represent you all the last 2 years in the North Carolina General Assembly, and we had some significant success. What I am here tonight is to ask you to, the contract was a 2-year contract, and so it is coming up for renewal. In fact, January 1 was the date of renewal. And so I am approaching you and am here to answer any questions you might have as it relates to that. The contracts themselves have not changed at all. The only thing on the contracts that's different that you're looking at that is different from last time, 2 years ago, is the dates. The dates have been changed, obviously, to reflect the new biennium. We had, the General Assembly will be getting together beginning the 20th of January, so we need to get cracking on whatever it is we're going to be doing this year, and hopefully meeting with you all so that we can determine what your top priorities will be for the coming biennium. Now, just as a reminder, we had, and I'm sure you're well aware of it, but in the last budget, we helped secure $5.5 million for Bertie County for, and I hear some of this being talked about tonight in terms of the needs for emergency services and so on and so forth. So we were able to do that for you. There was no budget in the second session. We also helped to get Bertie County $200,000 for the East Coast Greenway Alliance. So those are the two things that that we did accomplish. We're always there for you. I don't think anybody on this board wants to be running to Raleigh every couple of weeks, so we're here to be able to do that for you. I live just across the bridge, and we have a very unique arrangement, myself, and that is the Wolfstein entity. I am working with a guy by the name of Jackson Stansel. You're working with a guy by the name of Jackson Stansel, who is one of the top, I think for the fifth year in a row, one of the top 20 lobbyists out of 750 lobbyists in Raleigh. So you've got a good team. I'm here for you locally. I go in to Raleigh when we're scheduling meetings and so forth to help represent you and to attend with you. Several of your members last year traveled to Raleigh on a couple of occasions, and we set those meetings up so that those discussions could be made. So I'm thanking you for your consideration for the previous 2 years. I'm asking you for your support for the next 2 years, and it's not too early to get going. I'm presuming, Mr. Chairman, that you are you and the board are having a meeting very soon to start to talk about your legislative priorities for this coming biennium. Is that correct? I'm assuming you are.
We have a work session.
Okay. All right. So unless anybody has any questions for me, and I'm here to answer any questions that you might have, it'll be I'm asking for your support.
I have a comment. The last couple of years, done a great job for the county.
Thank you.
And we are still in need of funds for EMS buildings,
yes,
and equipment, because the citizens of Burton County deserves a lot better than what they have. You know, we need EMS buildings and equipment in every corner of the county. We got Lewiston and Woodville. We need better. Things there are a little outdated.
Yes.
You know, so I'm quite sure when we meet and do our work section, we'll have a list, you know, that wish list this long.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, we have a lot of needs in Burton County. They're in Boca Farm area. You know, we got to, you know, we just got to do better for our citizens. And you bring the money, we're going to put the building and equipment together.
Well, we have, I know last time we also talked about, and I think you're under a timeline, if I'm not mistaken, for a new animal shelter here in Burton County as well. So that's been something that we've talked about. What we need to do is to get together and then prioritize.
Right, we're going to do that.
Right.
We're going to prioritize.
Right.
You know, but like I say, you know, same thing happened in California. Well, it didn't get there on time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we want the water to get there on time. You know what I mean? And I'll take care of the dogs a little later on, but you know, let's take care of people first.
Right, right, right.
Mr. Steinberg, how much is the contract for each year?
It is, each one of us receives $1,500 a month. So you're talking about $36,000 for the 1 year, $72,000 for 2 years. Yes, sir.
I thought it was $54,000
a piece. It's $36,000 a piece. Yeah.
$72,000
Or no, that's not correct. It's 12. It's 12 months at $1,500. So it's $18,000 per year per contract. Is that right?
So is it 36 for 2 years, or is it 72 for 2 years?
72 for 2 years, yeah.
You're saying you have two people that work?
Well, you have contracts with two individuals. You have Jones Street, and then you have Wolfstein. So we work as a team, and our Jackson Stansel is the other gentleman. And that's how we've had it for the last couple of years. I mean, this is the way we've been doing it.
So it's $1,500 a month times two people. Times 12 months, that's
$36,000
a year.
Right.
So
right.
$72,000
per contract. Right, I think I said that. I hope I did. My math is that
good. You're on Main Street talking to Mike, so we got you.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to be questioning my math, but I mean, I could be off a little bit, but I don't think so.
Plus, you know, with the 911 billing, we need additional money to go and complete that.
Right.
So, like I say, you know, we'll be prioritizing at our next work session on things that we, that the citizens here in Burton County
right.
need for a better life. But like that 911 call center,
mm-hmm.
we already had located a location for it, and we have some money for it, but we don't have enough money to finish the project.
Well, I believe that the anytime we're going to Raleigh and we're looking for money to help with emergency situations, that's where this last amount of money came from, this $5.5 million a couple of years ago. We've just got to make the case that you know, this is the situation and lives are at stake, and so we need help.
I think it was a good time to make the case.
I think so. From what I heard tonight, I think it's a great time to make the case.
It's a good time to make the case.
Can citizens go to those meetings to make a case, or is that just...
He can answer.
Yeah, I have worked for the last couple of years for the county.
Right.
So I do their bidding in terms of what it is that they are looking for, in terms of financing, assistance from the state. And so anything that you would request through your commissioners, and then your commissioners and I would work together to, yes.
And can you only do one county, or could you be standing in front of 10 different counties and jockeying all that?
I represent 11 counties, so. Not all of them have the same needs, but I mean, it's...
Mr. Steinberg, on behalf of, I just feel, because we have two new commissioners.
Yes.
You know, I'm familiar with you, Commissioner White. Officer, we're familiar with you. I still just think it's fair to give them time to look at, you know, your past track record with us.
Right.
And you'll have time to think about it. Maybe
well, the only thing is, I can't do anything for you until we have a firm contract by law. I mean, I can't. I'm not. So we're moving toward the 20th of January, and I understand and respect whatever it is you decide to do. I'm just saying that there are timelines involved. There are meetings going on now, and I need to be at the table representing my clients, and I'm hoping that you all will continue to be clients of mine and Mr. Stancil. So
we'll be talking with Representative Willingham as well, because he represents us also. Shelley Willingham.
Yes, yeah, I know Shelley very well, yes, yeah, yeah.
He's somewhat of a lobbyist for us too, isn't he?
Well,
without the time.
Right, well, and without the money, yes, that's true. But I want to remind you why this arrangement is so important to you. We understand and I say this with all due respect, but who is controlling the numbers in the General Assembly in both the House and the Senate. So it's very important to have an advocate that understands who they are and has access to those individuals to get those items into the budget for consideration, for consideration into the budget.
Mr. Chairman.
And as the chairman said, it's very important for the new commissioners to
understand the
process. So we understand the time constraints that we're talking about, but we need to understand what we're agreeing to in this contract, as the chairman said.
Right. Well, I thought you'd already seen the contract.
No, we understanding and seeing, and it's obvious that even the older commissioner has an issue, because they're quoting numbers now that 106,000 and 72,000. Which two is it? It's some confusion up here, from what I'm understanding. And I understand your time constraints, and I respect and appreciate all the work you've done.
Thank you.
I follow you immensely. But as the chairman said, it's going to be important.
No, that's fine. Whatever you all want to decide. I'm not debating that. I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of what we're looking at, so that we can act accordingly.
Mr. Chairman, would it be fair to us as a commissioner, board of commissioners, to hear from our operating manager?
Can I ask a question? Okay. I mean, I didn't want to throw people. Sorry. All right. So you said you have 11 different counties that work for you.
Correct. That I work for.
Yes, right. That you work for.
Right.
I don't know who they are, but let's just say one of them is Chowan. How do you prioritize who's you're going to?
I don't work for Chowan.
I didn't say you did.
Okay.
I don't know who you work for.
Okay.
I don't care who.
How do I prioritize? Every county has its needs, and I go in and make the case for, it's not an either or. It's not, well, Bertie is not going to get it because we're going to give it to Chowan, or it doesn't work that way. Whoever my clients are, the 11 counties that I represent, they have specific needs. I am going in to represent you, Bertie County, for those needs. And will advocate just as strongly as I can. It has nothing to do with any other county at all. As a matter of fact, all of my counties I have gotten funding for in the last couple of years. So it's It's not how it works.
I do get that, but I guess I'm saying, like, there's only a flat amount of money. They say we got 20 million, whatever they say, make up the biggest number you want. They only got 20 million, and you have 11 people that need 15 million. Mm-hmm. You do have to make a decision on who you represent and fight for the most. So that's why I guess I'm saying, like, how do you do that?
I don't fight for any one county the most. I fight for them all equally. So it's not, I'm not fighting for Bertie over Chowan or over Perquimans or over Pasquotank. I'm fighting for each one of them. I'm going in to see them based on their individual needs. This is what this county needs to try and move forward. And I advocate for that. And as you can see, you received a good chunk of money in the last two-year cycle, and I expect that you will be seeing some money, no guarantees, of course, but I think it's a pretty good return for your investment. I mean, for $72,000, I think Vertee got a pretty good return. I say that respectfully. Yeah.
As Mr. Steinberg stated, we have received substantial, significant grant funds within the past 2 years, and I like to think that has something to do with his lobbying. However, it's important for each of you to understand everything that goes into this process and understand exactly what Mr. Steinberg does, and if you have concerns about, you know, how he prioritizes all the projects in the various counties, you all have to understand that so that you all can make a decision on whether or not we move forward with the contract.
I read it was a three-year contract, and I saw where it says it's $54,000 each. And if my math is correct, that's $108,000 over 3 years.
That was not the contract.
That's what I read.
I don't know what they had, but I mean the contract, I can tell you what I've received from Bertie County. And it's a two-year contract because it's a two-year biennium. You know, I'm here to serve you. You know, if you're not interested in us moving forward, that's fine. I mean, you make that decision. But I know what I've done for you, and I know what I can do for you. And so if you think that $72,000 is too much when we're talking about millions of dollars on the table, then I wouldn't be penny-wise and pound-foolish. I mean, that's...
I won't go as far as saying we're not interested. I'm just saying this. Let us reconvene.
No, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just trying to feel the questions as they're coming up.
We won't be making a decision on that right now.
Okay.
We'll table that until we all have a chance to discuss it.
All right. But will I have to come back here again to present to the board again, the entire board, or is this going to be a consent agenda, or what's going to happen?
We'll probably have to do a consent agenda.
It's really up to the board. You all can make the decision, but if you all have additional questions, they can the questions.
Sure, absolutely.
We'll have the county manager reach out to you.
Sure, sure, that's great. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. All of you, thank you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Okay, now we have a special projects update from Project Consultant. She's another engagement.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one quick update I can do for her. The BRIC grant. She did want you to know that RFQs had been requested. The deadline for those to be returned is the 16th, which is this week. And in that RFQ, the RFQ is the grant money that we have right now is to hire an engineer to come up with the plans, to create the plans. And then once that is done, we can then apply for the implementation money. Part of the grant. So
excuse me, Ms. Tracy, can you kind of give me an update what that is, because I'm not familiar with it.
The BRIC grant, BRIC, B-R-I-C, stands for Building Resilient Infrastructure. Can't remember what the C stands for, but anyways, Building Resilient Communities, Infrastructure and Communities. And this grant is, the county had to select a project, and what we're doing to make us more resilient.
And we're focusing on a project for Hoggard's Mill to reduce flooding in the town of Windsor, hopefully. That it will reduce. There were studies done, and we're using some of those studies that were done by Dr. Stan Riggs a while back, a few years ago, and it requires some hydrological plans and some engineering, but eventually it will be put on the ground, and hopefully we'll have good results. It's a big project. Town of Windsor is also participating in this grant, and the Hoggard's Mill.
How was that chosen as a special project?
We had a list of projects that were identified. I can't remember them all right now. And the project, the grant was for specific types of projects. So this was one that met that criteria that we thought we could get funding for. So,
we've done another one, haven't we?
We've done one in the bottom of Corain. Yeah. It'll run the people out there.
It has to do, I know, with the Harbor Mill area, because right, it was with the town on their board in Windsor. We talked about that because the way that the, when the water and the rain, when the water comes through, the way it floods or comes through, something like it. I'm not the one to be talking about it, but I know Alan can give me a little more detail on it, but it has a lot to do with the way it's set up at that Harbor Mill area where those floodwaters do come in and they run rapidly down into the area of Cascais and through Windsor and whatnot. So that's part of it. Don't quote me.
Part of it does involve a restoration of Hoggard's Mill. We putting some of the land back into wetlands that...
What was it over there at one time? Some type of mill?
Wood mill.
Wood mill.
Wood mill.
Mr. County Manager, with all the projects that Ms. Payne is doing, do you have an update on anything else that she's doing as a contractor? I mean, I know she's doing a strategic plan. Is there an update on the strategic plan? I know that's been in process for a while and it's not been completed.
Yes,
ma'am.
Can you
give me an update on that?
That is correct. Robin could provide a more detailed update, but the update that I have at this point is that the strategic plan had been put on the website, and she was obtaining feedback from the public on that, but she plans to conduct a strategic planning work session during our next work session, which was scheduled for January 23rd, but of course we have to reschedule that because of a conflict. But she will be moving forward with hopefully gaining final information from the board, so hopefully our strategic plan will be complete by June 30th.
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tracy. Now we'll move to board appointments. Peanut Belt Rural Planning Organization. Countywide reappraisal by Joey Ray.
You don't skip me.
Good
evening. Commissioner Saunders, welcome to the board.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hoggard, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I emailed y'all concerning the 2028 countywide reappraisal. Under North Carolina statutes, every county is required to reappraise property at least once every 8 years. Our last one was January 1st of 2020. Our next one is January 1st, 2028. The first step and most important step is we need to decide what type of reappraisal we're going to do. From my research, with talking with my chief mapper, who's been with the county for 46 years, we've always done a street view. That's where we get in the vehicles, we drive to a residence, we look at the property record card and we match it. Don't get out of the vehicles. The next is a walk around, which we actually get out and walk around the properties. The most efficient and accurate is a full measuring list, where they get out and actually measure the structure itself to confirm square footage. It's also the most expensive. Once we decide on that, which I would need that to be done within the next month or two, I need to have RFQs sent out. I need to interview vendors. We need to select a vendor. I have to have a contract signed and a reappraisal plan submitted to the Department of Revenue before January 1st of 26. I'm not asking you to do that tonight. If y'all need time to ask questions or, you know, during the work session or meeting next month, I'll be glad to answer any of that. The cost we're looking at for a full list of measure would be roughly between $625,000 and $650,000. For a walk around, between $530,000 and $575,000. In 2020, to do a windshield review, street review, we paid $302,960. Those prices have gone up since then. So it's going to be up to the board which one you decide to do. We've been, by law, we're required to set aside money in a fund just for reappraisals. Whether you use all that money or not, you cannot touch it for something else. It'll roll over to the next year. So we're putting $80,000 aside annually. So when it comes time to do the reappraisal, we'll have $640,000. I recommend at the minimum a walk around. I would prefer a full list of measure. But again, that's going to be your decision. So, I'll be glad to answer any questions you have tonight.
The last time we did it, was it walk around or?
That was a drive, we called a windshield, street view. Yeah, that's all we've ever done.
I think, Mr. Tax Director, I think you lose money, kind of lose money when you do a walk around. I think when we do a
street view.
Street view.
Yes.
We lose money.
Yes.
The reason we lose money is because we miss a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if we do a walk around, to me, probably better.
I'm sure you and the county manager have discussed this.
We have.
What is your you and the county manager's preference? You guys are professionals in this. Y'all talk to us.
Yes. As stated, I recommend the full measuring list. You're going to get complaints. People don't want people walking around their property. That's the purpose of it. We've got to be fair and equitable. And by street view, we're missing so much that we can't see. So,
Examples?
I know there's a lot of people here on waterfront. I'm not singling y'all out. Some of y'all may live on a cliff, some don't. If we're riding by on the street, and there's a cliff, we can't see what's below that cliff. Piers, dockheads, whatever. That's a lot of missed revenue. We did at the last reappraisal take a boat and go from one end of the county and picked up between $500,000 and $600,000 of unlisted property, such as what I just listed. Doing a street view, you just don't see that. Any structures that may be behind the house, any additions that could have been added to the house that's not street view, we can't see.
Thank you.
Are we getting a decision by the end? I would say no later than end of February. So I can get the RFQs out to the vendors, have them submitted, interviewed, and one selected. Said put it on February.
Yes, sir.
What date was that?
February. The meeting in February is February 3rd.
3rd.
Okay.
Is that a 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any Right. Board of Partners, Peanut Belt Rural Planning Organization, and the Rural Transportation Advisory Committee.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to appoint Commissioner L.C. Harvey to this board.
I'll second the motion.
All right. We have a motion to appoint Commissioner L.C. Harvey to the Peanut Belt Rural Planning Organization and the Rural Transportation Advisory Committee by Commissioner Bill Saunders, second by Commissioner Lauren Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Congratulations.
Thank you, L.C.
Chairman.
Chairman, they're also requesting a representative. It can be a commissioner or non-commissioner.
An alternate.
An alternate.
Okay. Do we have to make that decision tonight?
Preferably.
And a lot of people in the audience, if anybody wants to volunteer.
I'd like to make a motion for Mr. Mark Dasko to be his assistant.
Are you interested, Mr. Roscoe?
I decline.
What?
Anyone interested?
What is it? For our share to serve, since transportation is involved, I'll make a motion to nominate Sheriff Tyrone Ruff to this board.
Sheriff, is that something you would be interested in? You'd be interested in? Okay. So, as a representative, we have.
At least I got a ride.
We have a motion on the floor to make Sheriff Tyrone Ruff the representative on our behalf for the Peanut Belt Rural Planning Organization and the Rural Transportation Advisory Committee by Commissioner Vivian Saunders. We have a second.
I'll second the motion.
Second by Ron Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Congratulations, Sheriff Ruff. You have something else on your plate. At this time, we're going to move to our consent agenda. And first thing we want to do is approve the regular meeting minutes for November 4th, 2024.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from November 4th, 2024.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes on November 4th, 2024, by Commissioner Mike White, second by Commissioner Vivian Saunders. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. So moved. Okay, approved fiscal year 2024-25 senior center general purpose funding application packet. So we have a motion.
So moved.
We have a motion by Commissioner Vivian Saunders, second by Commissioner Nelson Hauger. All approved, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. So moved. Approved Bertie County Flood Damage Prevention Ordinance. We have a motion. So moved. We have a motion by Commissioner Elsie Hauger. Second by Commissioner Mike White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Approved designation of application agent form for the Flood Mitigation Assistance Grant. We have a motion on
that. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion by Commissioner Ron Robinson. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Vivian Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Resolution for preservation, restoration, and rebuilding of rural small town movie theaters in northeastern North Carolina.
I make a motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Michael White, second by Commissioner Ronald Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. So moved. Other items, discussion agenda, transfer of funds for business. Personal property. All right.
This was updated prior to the scheduled meeting on the 2nd, the 6th, got canceled, and I'm not sure if it was included with the revised copy. Basically, there are two transfers that I'm requesting this evening. The first one is moving funds from Fund 27 over to the General Fund 10. Those were monies that were set aside to be utilized for the business and personal property tax for the tax department. The second one, in the renewal of our maintenance agreement for Munis Software, the Tyler Forms format was added, and the fees that we budgeted are not in that line to cover that cost. And so the county manager and myself met with the IT director, and he found within his standard telephone budget $12,993.67 to move over to help cover those costs.
Okay. I don't know if this is something.
Yes, please. Motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor to approve this budget amendment. Mr. William Knapp, the move of the transfer of funds to cover the necessary expenses. We have a first by Commissioner Ronald Robson, second by Commissioner Vivian Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Same here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for outstanding job.
Thank you.
Transfer ownership of four trailer campers to Avery, North Carolina, Avery County.
Good evening. Just as a reminder, back in October, we discussed when Hurricane Helene hit, we discussed transferring four of the campers that we had out that we had received from donations when we had the tornado come through here, and we provided it to our residents. They were sitting over next to Station 1, not being used, so we got consensus from the commissioners to get those prepared and ready, and then to donate them to Avery County. We were able to, we cleaned up four of them. We had six of them there. We cleaned up four of them that were actually livable. Put in new gas, put in new propane tanks, and put in new batteries and mattresses. And I wanted to take a moment first to let you know what happened after that. The fire chief for Powellville and three of his firemen, this assistant fire chief and two others, donated their time and took these trailers to Avery County to donate them, to deliver them. On the way, well, prior to doing that, I wanted to let you know that they ended up putting 16 new tires on the trailers, outside of the $4,000 we put into it to do the work to get it to where we felt that they could be livable. They put 16 new tires on it, two new toilets. They checked the gas heaters and the stoves and the water heaters to make sure they were all operable. They fixed the roof leaks on two of them. Once they got them to Avery County, on the way there, they stopped at Walmart and stocked the trailers with crock pots, frying pans, sheets, utensils, towels, comforters, and pillows. They did a lot more than what we did, and I just wanted to express my appreciation for them and my amazement that they would be willing to do that. And so I think if you have the opportunity, you need to, you should thank them as well. They got them to Avery County. They helped set them up. We know that from speaking to Avery County Emergency Management that they've got one family living in one of them now, and the other three are being set up to provide for that as well. The last step in this is to transfer the titles over to them. And so I'm coming to you to ask for that you allow us to transfer the titles over to Avery County so that they will own them and be able to maintain them. And speaking to the emergency management director there this last week, he said that they wanted to keep the titles in their name so that when things were back to normal, hopefully that happens soon, that they would then be able to take those campers back, then do the same thing that we've done, push them, you know, carry them forward if it's possible. So I'm asking that you make a motion to transfer the titles over to Avery County so that I can get that taken care of and get them done.
Just so everyone understands, in our time of need, other counties stepped in and donated those campers to us. They showed us love, kindness, and support. And in return, you know, I am a preacher. Same measure that's measured to you should measure it back. And so first of all, I would like to applaud Powellsville Fire Department for showing, you know, concern for a fellow man. And also, I just want everybody to understand the importance of doing the right thing. This is the right thing to do.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion that we give the campus to Avery County.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Ronald Robson to transfer the title over to Avery County. We have a second.
A second.
Second by Commissioner Vivian Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to also put a motion on the floor to actually recognize the chief from Powellsville, did you say it was, at our next meeting to present them with a certificate for the humanitarian work that they did on those and the supplies that they put in this camp. If that's in order.
If you'll forgive me, I'll give you their names because I meant to tell them that. Ralph Brinkley is the fire chief. David Drew is the assistant fire chief. David Powell and Edward Ward are the four gentlemen and their families who took them to Avery County and did all of that.
You can get that to the county manager and you can get some certificates out there. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Commissioner Saunders, that's a great idea. Thank you for recognizing the fire department problem.
Okay. The NCACC leading your county governing board in Raleigh, January 3rd.
Commissioners, this is basically a reminder to everyone. We have had a few commissioners to confirm their attendance for this training. Again, leading your county governing board located in Raleigh on January 30th. So again, it's basically a reminder. If we have any additional commissioners who would like to attend, please let me and the clerk know as soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you. And the January work session.
Yes. As mentioned previously, the board had decided to have the work session on January 23rd. However, due to a conflict, I think it would be better to reschedule that work session, hopefully to a date where all commissioners can attend, since the primary purpose was for, number one, commissioners orientation, and then number two, strategic planning work session. And Ms. Robin Payne, our project consultant, who's leading our strategic plan initiative, has given dates of January 27th and January 31st, if that works for everybody. If not, you may be looking at going into the month of February.
I can't do the 27th.
And the 31st is the Friday before our February 3rd meeting.
So it looks like we're at February.
Okay. All right, so hopefully at our February meeting, we can confirm a time for the commission's work session.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, so now we'll go to our commission reports. Commissioner Ronald Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bob Anglin and Uncle Shule, our representative on Shelby Ribbon, there has there's applications out for pages. Kids, they're in the 11th grade, 12th grade. They want to be a page, and a page is a person who goes 1 week, gets paid $125 to follow their representative and do things and learn things how the government is operated in Raleigh. And quite sure our Commissioner Michael White, he will contribute more to that piece because he's a assistant superintendent of the schools.
Commissioner Elsie?
No, I don't have anything to report, I would say, but I just want to, you know, it's kind of, it's good to be up here in a way, and at the same time, when you hear the problems and the issues that are going on in the county, you're like, oh my God. You know, I want to thank all you all for coming out. I want to thank all y'all for coming out and taking such a profound interest in the county and trying to make our county safe for the areas in which we live. Thank you all, and if there's anything I can do, please feel free to call me. And I would always joke, I said, you can call me anytime, just don't call me after 9. Thank you.
Here's from Michael White.
So, since I got thrown out here, the page, we have sent that out to the high schoolers, to the high schools, so I'm hoping we'll get some kids interested. The only other thing I had is, well, you heard a lot of my district tonight, so I was just going to say January 21st. At a Econo in the pool house. If you have not seen the lights, I know you all have, please come look at them. They're really not art. So you are on my district, my section. And so I also get to see them. I think I have a better, I'm not trying to run that in, but my view, it looks a little different from your view. But if you have not been able to see them, do not think they are intrusive or annoying, please come January 21st to see them, because while you get to leave after 30 minutes, people live there and they see them all night long. So please come. If you don't know, ask Ms. Gilking, she'll give you the address.
I'll give you the address and I'll have coffee there for you.
Or anything else.
We hope that you come. We really hope you come support us and at least just take a look and see what we're looking at.
In our district, we received a grant through the North Carolina. Well, the town of Lewiston had received a grant for Mr. Randy Cherry to actually put a smokehouse grill down in Lewiston, Woodville. And I encourage everyone, when the opportunity comes that it opens, that you come to Wilson Woodville and support that. Chief Jerry was a former owner of Chief's Place here in Windsor, and he decided to cross the river and come on to Lewiston and actually do the building reuse money. He worked with the town of Wilson Woodville and the MOU between the Berkshire County Hive House, our grant writer, and the Department of Commerce. I also want to encourage people that we have an MOU with Berkshire County Schools, and we have the alternative school in the Lewiston Woodville Vitality Center. We have a small library there, so if you have books that you don't have a need for, please let us have it, because we're trying to encourage reading again. One day we may not have lights and be able to charge a cell phone, so we're teaching our babies how to use encyclopedias and dictionaries again. So if you have books, I don't care what kind of books you want, it's not pornographic books.
We would never have that.
That the children can read, we will pick them up. We'll be more than happy to pick them up. So we encourage you to donate books to our library. Thank you.
Yeah, well, there's books.
Textbooks, that's fine also. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes.
And I just would like to close out my statement by saying I heard every last one of your voices. I have a concern for each issue. I have a concern for the lights, disturbing your peace, your view. I have a concern for the EMS out in the Maryhill area, because I just recently experienced a bad episode myself while preaching. A gentleman had a heart attack in church. And it took a while for the services to get there. And while I know EMS did all they could to get there at a sufficient time, Berkshire County is a large county. So, but somehow, some way, we have to get enough EMS stations where everybody can be receive good services at a decent time. So I feel that. And also, even to the trash, I have to have a concern for the trash, because people have no respect for public roads and our communities and neighborhoods, and they're just throwing trash out. And I don't know, I guess we're gonna have to have a Crime Stoppers in trash. there needs to be, you know, we need to encourage our friends, our neighbors, because we help each other by helping each other. So let's encourage each other, not the little, our loved ones, our family. Let's encourage the little things can make a difference. Okay? So, Mr. Outlaw, I feel your pain with the trash, and I'm sorry for what you're going through there. Again, along with all of you and what you're dealing with, but together we're going to just all try to make a difference. Okay. All right. Yeah, we got two. At this point, we're going to county manager's report.
Chairman, I only have one item, and that is to announce that the NACO Legislative Conference, and of course NACO is the National Association of Counties, the 2025 Legislative Conference will take place March 1st through the 4th, and that is in Washington, D.C., and that does conflict with our March meeting. That's the first Monday in March is when our meeting was scheduled for, which is March 4th, and if we do that, and if we've got confirmation from two commissioners so far, and so we may have to also look at rescheduling the March 4th meeting. And then that can take place at our next meeting in February.
Awesome. Thank you so much, County Manager.
March 3rd.
I'm sorry, March 3rd. Yes, March 3rd.
And County Attorney's report.
No, sir, no report.
Okay. At this time, we'll move back into public comments. Do we have any more public comments?
Yes, I had it, Commissioner. I got it wrong now. I had the rest on the phone now.
Okay, if you will get with county manager, he'll assist you. Or Ms. Tanya, they'll assist you with the phone.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Commissioner Robson for the vote of confidence to place me on this committee, but I decline. Because at this point in time, I have a lot of things that's going on. When I get on something, I like to give my all and all. So I felt like I need to decline at that point. But thank you for the vote of confidence.
Sure, Mr. Roscoe. I know you would do an excellent job.
I want to get that out. I wasn't trying to be ugly.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Any more public comments? Any more public comments? Okay. With that being said, at this time, we're going to need a motion to go into closed session.
I make a motion of going into closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11, sections A, 3, 4, and 6.
Okay, we have a motion going into closed session. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Michael White going into closed session under the SOAR. North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3-4-6. Second by Ron Robson, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Again, thank you all for coming out. We really appreciate it. Okay. Well, we're back in open session. We have more business matters we need to discuss at this time. Done then. We're going to ask that we have a motion to.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn by Commissioner Michael White, second by Commissioner Bill Sanders. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay.
Hey.
Good evening, everybody.
Y'all have a good night.
Good night, too.